I want you to go to the book of Genesis tonight, Genesis chapter 24. When we go look through the Word of God, we find that God made three, what we might call institutions. We find that, first of all, He established the family. And, of course, Adam and Eve, they were created, and they were to have children and have grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and look where we're at today. And the second thing we find that God instituted was government. And after the flood, we find that He instituted capital punishment, which would be done by government. And of course, then we find that He really put the burden upon Israel to be an example to the world when it comes to governing policies. And then we find a few millennia later that after the Lord Jesus Christ is on earth, we find the establishment of the church. So we have these three institutions. And when I think about, especially think about the family, there's a great attack on our families today. A great attack. I find that in the last few years, I've probably dealt with more family problems, husbands and wives, than I had in my entire years previous. And it's there. And probably, if folks would get really honest, it'd probably be more than that. There's a lot of problems. And, I mean, face it. I mean, look at it. I mean, your husband's a ding-dong. Right, ladies? Husbands, she don't have a clue, right? but sometimes that's the way we think of it. But God has put us together for some reasons. And praise God for that. And so we find that we go to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, we find there that God gives us some marvelous verses on marriage. And He's likening the church to Christ, and then He's likening the husband to the wife. And it's tremendous. We find that there is one time where God says to the woman, she's to submit to her husband. And then we find three times where God says to the husband, love your wives. And so just some tremendous, tremendous things there. As you would study those verses. But tonight I'd like for us to go here to Genesis chapter 24. We're going to, you've read the story, I'm sure, many times about the getting of a wife here and how the Lord had Abraham do this. And what a marvelous chapter. I've actually labeled this the precautions of faith. And so I want to read here the first nine verses, first of all, tonight. And say a few words, go a little farther, say a few words, and hopefully that through that, you know, your marriage can be strengthened. You who are not married, there will be some very good thoughts here for you as well. So let's look here. Abraham was old, well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over him, that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heavens and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites whom among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said to him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said to him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. Wow. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this thy my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swear to him concerning that matter. Before we go to Father, let's pray. Father, thank you for your scriptures. Thank you for preserving these and give them to us. And Lord, we pray tonight you might bless in our hearts. Give us open minds and a hunger and a thirst for your word. And we might not only just use it in our lives for personal use, but that we might be able to be people that reflect it into those who are around about us. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We find that Isaac is probably about 40 years of age, and the time for a bride had come. Now, most in our society say, well, 40 is way past the time. But we have to remember that folks lived a little bit longer back in this day. But it's where it's at. And one of the things we find about this particular time is that the father made arrangements for the son's marriage. I wonder how many boys, young men, will be excited about their daddy picking out their wife. I can tell by the little smirks that that would not go over too well. But that's the way that it worked. And I believe what we're seeing here is something that really is a beautiful type of the Holy Spirit of God. Isaac, as with Isaac, we find the Holy Spirit of God is seeking only believers. And so we find that he was told to go out, find somebody in another land, basically somebody that would be God-fearing, and bring him back, or bring her back to my son. And certainly that's what the Holy Spirit of God does. So he sends his servant back to Haran, where he believes there are some believers present. And we got to understand something. I believe he understood it. Marriage to an unbeliever, if you know the Lord is your Savior, you marry somebody that doesn't believe in Christ your Savior, we are creating what the Bible calls an unequal yoke. It's not going to work. It's not going to work, period. And let me put it this way. If you marry somebody that's not saved, you're going to have a pretty tough father-in-law. I mean, think about it. Who is their father? If you're saved, God's your father, but who's the father of others? Satan is. Yeah, you're going to have a tough time with your father-in-law. And so it's very important that we do that. Now, one of the things a lot of times happens is that young people don't really look at that real closely, and they fall halfway in love, and then they're going to try to win the spouse to Christ, and sometimes that works, and sometimes it doesn't, and sometimes they're not true about it, and they make like they did so they can get the guy or gal or whatever, and it just does not work out well. But certainly, you need to be one who's very aware. You who are teenagers, even if you're older than that, and God has somebody for you, you better make sure God has them for you. And it's not something that's out of your lust, but out of the Spirit of God. We find here that Abraham does something I think is marvelous. He expects God to lead his servant and to lead him to the right one. And he's not to take the son there, but he's to bring the bride to him. And we find that very true, and you see that in reference to us. We're going to be taken to the son. Amen? I believe one of these days the trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ is going to rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Somebody said, how come they go first? They got 6 feet farther to go. But we're all going to be with the Lord. It's going to be in a twinkling of an eye. You won't even know the difference, right? So we find here a very wise sojourner, and he is seeking now one for his son. Now, let's look at the servant for a little bit here. You start in verse number 10, and notice what it says. It says the servant took 10 camels. Now, remember that number. 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, and all the goods of his master in his hand. And so he had a lot of stuff with him. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And a servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down the pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking." And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. How many camels? You reckon they drank a little bit of water? You realize that every camel at this point probably would drink about 5 gallons of water? She was doing a lot of work here. Okay. And I lost place where I was at. She hasted to empty her pitcher in verse 20. And verse 21, the man wondered her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, the man took a golden earring and a half a shekel weight and 2 braces for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor." And she said moreover to him, "We here have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in." And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abram, who left not destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. So we find here this servant as he begins to do what he's asked. We don't find a name for this servant. He's unnamed. And so I think the whole story is really to draw attention to the Son as it is fitting to, can we say, the Holy Spirit of God. In the book of John, chapter 16, it says in verse 13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." Are we not happy for that? "He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come." And so here's an unnamed servant who is really, as we look at it from a spiritual standpoint, playing the part of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, this servant didn't wander aimlessly around seeing what he could find out, but every course that he took seemed to be of God in this thing. Now, he had a test. The test was practical. It was difficult, but it was not impossible. And so what did he want? He wanted her to give him some water. He wanted, if he knew it was the right one, that she would also bear water for his camels. And so we find 5 gallons apiece times 10 is 50 gallons of water that she probably got. I don't know how big a jug she had, but that was some work for a young lady. And like the Holy Spirit, the servant then tells of the Son and makes a proposal to her. Wow. Let's go to verse 29. Rebecca had a brother. His name was Laban. And Laban ran out to the man under the well, and it came to pass when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hand, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, "Thus spake the man in me," that he came into the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, "Come in, thou blessed Lord, wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels." And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, gave him straw and provender for the camels, water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, "I will not eat until I have told mine errand." And he said, "Speak on." I want us to notice a couple things here with this. And we look at Laban. What did he see first? Yeah, he saw the jewelry first, didn't he? It's almost like he was more interested in the gifts. And in a sense, would seek to hinder the work of the saints, of the servant a little later on. Matter of fact, go to verse 55 and 56, and notice what it says there. Her brother and her mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10 after she shall, after that she shall go. And of course the servant said, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may give to my master. And so here's a fellow, he seems to be more interested in the gifts rather than what God has available for them. So the question goes then to Rebecca. And we find, and I'm not going to read all of it, but in verse 34 on down to verse 61, we find that God manipulates all the circumstances and brings us to a point where she makes a decision. If you draw up verse number 58 with me, please notice what it says. And they went, or they said, we will call the damsel and inquire her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said to her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. You remember the day you got saved? The Spirit of God said, will you come unto the Lord? And you said, yes, I will. And that's basically what we're looking at here. And God was blessing her life. She was not left to stumble along, but was guided by this servant. And it's amazing how the Spirit of God will guide in our lives to bring us unto the Son. And by the way, thank God that He guides us after we are brought into the Son. And we ought to be so thankful for the Spirit of God and His leadership in our lives. Sometimes I wonder, was that my thought or your thought, Lord? You ever had that problem? And it's always amazing how God somehow, if it's His, puts an assurance down in my heart. And you can just thank the Lord for that. Now she's traveling. And as she's traveling with them, we find that she begins to learn about the Son. And it seems like she began to long for Him. As we travel through life, what are we doing? We're learning more about the Son, are we not? And the closer we get to that time we're going to meet Him, that longing ought to be, it ought to have improved, it ought to have gotten greater. I told you this, and please don't misunderstand, but Doc said there's a lot of people praying for her, which is very thankful, but they're keeping me out of heaven. And, of course, Doc can always make a joke out of everything, but he was really somewhat serious with that. And so we find that as she travels through through this journey, that he became more and more real to him. And she began to look for him. Now, if you drop down with me to verse number 62, verse 62, and I'll start at verse 61. It says, and Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well, all right? For he dwelt in the south country, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Can you imagine what was in his heart? And Rebekah lifted up her eyes when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. She was excited to go. Huh? One of these days, we're going to light off this earth. Amen. And go unto the Lord. For she had said to the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? The servant had said, is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother's tent and took Rebekah. And she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. By the way, that was a fixed marriage. And when the Holy Spirit of God fixes a marriage, and I believe He can use daddies to help in that area, it is amazing what can take place. By the way, girls especially, you ought to listen to what dad says about the guy. I mean, you look at him and you think, oh, he's such a hunk. He is so marvelous. He's so wonderful. And your dad looks at him with suspicion. I remember years ago, Danny, he told me that when one of the boys showed up, I don't know if it was that you? He walked out the front door and shot the shotgun. Or he had it in his hands, I don't know which, just to let you know. But anyways, he said something in that manner. It's, you know, talk to Daddy. I mean, he can look through all that stuff and see it. And that's a wonderful thing there. So do that. If your dad doesn't know the Lord, you need to find somebody who loves you and cares for you and has that kind of perception, and let them be a help to you in that area. Amen? God uses people to do some things. We find in that last part there that he was waiting. His work was done at Moriah, and now it was his to wait. And she's taken to Sarah's tent. That's interesting. The church is not Israel, but brought into Israel's position. We are not Israel. We're not Sarah. But we're brought into the same kind of relationship. Marvelous as we find that to be. And just a beautiful story. We've gone through it rather quickly tonight. It's a long chapter to deal with. We could be here till 8:30 instead of whatever it is. But what a tremendous story. Allow God to use that in your life. Young people, read it and reread it. Let God use that for you. And I would trust that God would bring to you that right guy. Amen. And he has one out there. Guys, you need to be praying. Lord, lead me the right gal. You get the wrong one, you're going to have some problems. Okay? I'm so thankful God led me the right one. And marvelous. And God is so good in that. All righty. We're going to have a word of prayer. We'll divide up here, I guess. And Chad, I think, has a prayer letter or two he wants to share with us. And then we'll see you on Sunday. Bringing your food with you and all that good stuff. Huh? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much tonight for this time together. Thank you, Spirit of God, for showing us how you work in bringing us to you through this servant. And Lord, we pray tonight that as your servants, we'd allow your Spirit to lead us to bring other people to the Savior. Bless and work in our hearts as we leave from this place, certainly. Bless as we participate in hearing the missions letters, the teens get together. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.